Thank you. You may be seated. I came across the book the other day written by Larry Landon, who is a professor of philosophy at the University of Hawaii. The title is intriguing and it's called Danger Ahead. The subtitle is The Risks That You Face on Life's Highway. And in this book, he has lists most common threats or risks that we face every day that we might not be aware of. For example, 460,000 people in America every year are injured by kitchen knives. That makes sense to me. You're in there, you're cooking dinner with your honey, you have a disagreement, there goes an ear. It happens. How about this? 100,000 people every year are injured by manual saws. Power saws, yes. Manual saws, you are in the wrong profession. This one I like. Every year, and you need to watch out for this one. Every year, 20 Americans are strangled to death by drapery cords. How do they figure this stuff out? Can you imagine being the wife of a man who just died putting up drapes? Well, Bubba died. Well, he had a heart attack. You're not going to tell the truth. Bubba strangled on the cord. Bubba tried to get me to get somebody at Home Depot to put it up, but no, and he's dead. How about this one? Every year, I don't know where they get this stuff, every year 4,000 people are seriously injured by pillows. Gee, I've heard of delicate, but that's, So there are all kinds of dangers, but I would submit to you, out of all the lists that you could make, that there is a dangerous object in your home. Matter of fact, I would say it's the most seriously dangerous object you have, and it's called a lazy boy. It's not worker boy, not dreamer boy. It's not go out and let's have dinner boy. It's lazy boy. The number one best-selling chair in America is a lazy boy. You have a lazy boy? Ever seen a lazy boy? Ever bought a lazy boy? I had a lazy boy at one time. And I still have it if it didn't break. Have you ever noticed that no matter how nice these things are, if you sit in them or lie in them long enough, they kind of bend to meet your body. Have you ever sat in one that someone sits in and it's like leaning to the right and you're kind of trying to sit up? These things were built for comfort. And that's the problem. It's not what you do while you're in a lazy boy that's so terrible. It's what you don't do. It's the prayers that are never prayed. It's the dreams that are never pursued. It's the things that you never do. It's the life that you settle for. Laying in the lazy boy with the remote. That's every American male's dream, isn't it, guys? That's what we're doing on every commercial there is. I think the men in America ought to get together and protest men's commercials. Are we this stupid? Don't answer that. Are we this lazy? Don't answer that. Are we this dumb? Well, that you might be able to answer. But that is the temptation, isn't it? To just be someone who just kind of drifts along through life, just trying to get along, and fails to realize something very important. And that is, particularly as a Christian, Christianity has a real problem. And here's the problem. In a lot of Christianity, it's get saved, avoid hell, go to heaven. Ever heard that? If you're new to this whole thing, you need to understand that the majority of what you're going to hear in churches across America today, get saved, avoid hell, go to heaven. Okay. Now, I understand all of that, but here's my deal. If that's all life is, why don't we get saved, get baptized, make our will, leave everything to the church, and die? Some of you are saved, right? And some of you are like, oh my God, I don't know. I'm hoping so. Some of you are at least call yourself a Christian. Why are you still alive? You're taking up space. oxygen. You're driving cars, burning gas, emitting methane into the ozone. Why don't you just die and go to heaven? It's all over with anyway, isn't it? A lot of Christianity has a theology of the next life, but they don't have much of one for this life. It's kind of like, you know, why would God put us through all the pain of living on if there isn't something to live for? Listen to this. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when dreams come true at last, there is life and what? Joy. Maybe then God leaves us here to dream, to dare to dream. Have you ever stopped to think that everything begins? Everything begins. Every cool thing that you enjoy today began. Apple computers began. Dell computers began in a dorm room. Hewlett-Packard began in a garage. Vanderbilt began. Belmont began. Everything in this city, every record label began. Artists began. Great songs began. Where do they begin? Small? Little? Insignificant? Many of us are waiting for something big to come into our lives, full blown and full grown. You know what? Adults are born as babies. I mean, look at how good you are compared to how you started out in the world. You had no hair. You're naked. Didn't even know your name. Couldn't go to the bathroom. Didn't even know what TV was. Amen? You were a mess. But look at you now. You come a long way, baby. Where dreams come true. Everything begins with a dream, with an idea. Every company, everything. And you know what? You might as well be the person who dreams great dreams and dares great things and achieves great things, because that's what the world needs more of. We need fewer preachers and fewer creatures of comfort and more dreamers and darers and risk takers and doers, and you are it. Listen to this. This is out of Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him, to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Have you ever been to Walt Disney World? Isn't that cool? All this cool stuff. I remember years ago when Walt Disney decided to build a theme park in a swamp in Florida. They began to develop and build, and they were about two-thirds of the way through, and Walt Disney died. And when they eventually dedicated the park, one of the executives came up alongside Roy Disney, Walt Disney's brother, and said, you know, it really was a shame that Walt didn't live to see this. And Roy said he did see it. That's why it's here. What is it that you see in your heart, in your mind, your imagination that could be? What is that immeasurable more than we could dare ask or imagine? That God would give to us according to his power that is at work in us. His power works where? In us. To bring him glory through dreaming and daring and doing. You see, you've got only one of three choices, it seems to me. One, you can be drowned by your dreads. Job said it this way: what I have feared has come up on me. What I have dreaded has happened to me. Have you ever gotten up and gone to work and felt pretty good until you got around other people? And, you know, they whine and moan and complain. I feel like I'm getting a cold. And all of a sudden you find yourself coughing. You know, you people, we whine and moan and complain about the price of gas and fail to realize that we got some. Let's whine and moan about the price of bottled water if we want to get hacked off about something. I mean, we just found out the Coca-Cola just takes it and turns on the tap down there at Atlanta. And pulls out that. We just buy it and drink it. We think we're cool. The things that you dread, you know, I'm afraid my marriage won't work. I'm afraid this job won't work. I'm afraid if I buy this house, I won't be able to make the house payment. Oh, poor little pitiful me. And you become, you live a life of self-fulfilling prophecies. Secondly, you can be driven by your schemes. And this is a great town for schemers, right? You've seen them, haven't you? Over my years here, I've had people come to me and say, you know, God called me here. I'm going to be the next big thing. And the only little problem was, is God forgot to give them any talent. You do kind of have to sing. Many are the plans in a man's heart, schemes. But it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. I want to find out what God is blessing and get in on that. I don't want God to bless what I'm doing. I want to find out what he's blessing and get under that spout. Because God has purposes that he's working out in the world. And he's left us here to be the glad participants in that. We can be dreamers right along with God. You can be drowned by your dreads, driven by your schemes, or drawn into the future by your dreams. A dream draws you. It gets you up every day. It's the thing you think about when you go to bed. It's beyond just I want to. There are three kinds of people in the world who, when they see something great, they say, I could do that. Not going to, but I could. There are people who say, boy, I would like to do that. Then there are people who say, I must do that. What is your must? Your must have, your must do. Matter of fact, when we begin the new year, I'm going to start with a series called Finding My Motivation. And the subtitle so far of this series is What to Do When You Don't Want to Do Anything. I was talking to somebody the other night and says, well, you want to bump that one up? Let's do that one first. You know what to get you up in the morning? A dream, an idea, something that you must do. Call unto me, God says, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things. I remember when God put it in my heart to dream to go to college. Nobody in my family had ever gone to college. You know, and I remember when I finally got there. I remember the first day. It was hell. Can I say that? It was awful. And I went home. I was married, thank God. And I went home and told Paula, I says, this is not for me. And she says, get your butt back over there. It is now. I said, yes, ma'am, I did. I graduated from college, and then I aspired at that point to go to seminary, and then I aspired to get a graduate degree, and then I aspired to start a church, and then I aspired to write a book, and I aspired to have a family, and aspired to dare to be a dad, and I've aspired to do so many things, just like many of you. And there have been dreams, and then those dreams lead to dreams, and great things happen when you get up every day to dream. You have to get up every day, don't you? You either have to get up or not get up. You can lay in that lazy boy. I mean, we've gotten so bad that, you know, the clicker for the lazy. Have you ever lost the clicker? And you call your wife and say, would you please change the channel? Because you're so lazy. They have a new clicker for you. They have one that you can clap now and it beeps. Yeah. And the sad thing about that is some of you, that's all you'll think about today. I'm going to go get me one of them clickers. I'm going to Circuit City. Let's get us one of them things. There are some things, when benefits are coming to church. I get a clicker. Listen to what the scriptures say. In the last days, God will pour out his spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. You say, God put in each one of us a dream. Several dreams. There are some dreams that you have that if you achieve them, new dreams will open up, new ideas, new possibilities that you've never imagined yet, because dreams have a way of doing something to the dreamer. The first thing they do is they draw out your creative capacity. I have people say, boy, I'd love to be creative. Well, you are. You are created by God, the ultimate creative person. And in your heart, he's given you a creativity. But that creativity doesn't come out until it's put to work. It's challenged by something that is big and scary and audacious and beyond imagination. That's when you start thinking about how you can do it. Have you ever noticed how creative kids can be when they don't want to do something? Or how creative you can be when you don't, you're late and you, instead of telling the truth that you didn't start on time, you just lie. Have you ever noticed how creative we can be when we're trying to get out of something? How creative could we be if we took our mind and our imagination and start applying them to some solutions or some ideas that could be really great for people and bring God glory? How about what David said? Thank you, God, for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about it. Your workmanship is so marvelous. You are created. This amazing brain and this spirit and heart to imagine and to do. The second thing is dreams not just draw out our creative capacity, they draw out of us our latent potential. It's not until we have to get up and do something that's beyond what we've ever done that we realize that we have capacities that are lying dormant all around us. I love what William James says. Compared to what we ought to be, we're only half awake. We're making use of only a small part of our physical and mental resources. Stating the thing broadly, the human individual thus lives far within his or her limits. He possesses power of various sorts, which habitually fails to be used. Henry Taylor said this way, imagination lit every lamp in this country, produced every article we used, built every church, made every discovery, performed every act of kindness and progress, created more and better things for more people. It's the priceless ingredient of a better day. Here's the bottom line. If you're living in a boring life, it is your own fault. And you can change it today by engaging in this process that God has already called you to. Listen to this. You were there when I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born, and you scheduled every day of my life before I began to breathe. God scheduled every day. Every day was recorded in your book. Hey, wake up. This is your life. This is your day. What are you going to do with it? Sleepwalk all the way through it? Or wake up and burn that stupid lazy boy and say, there'll be plenty of time for rest. Let's be about something. Let's do something. Let's go. Let's get a cup of coffee and a pad of paper. And let's dream on paper. Let's dare something we can do. Let's let this be day one of the rest of our lives where we say, God being my helper, I will never, ever sleep through another day. I'll be a man or a woman of full, godly, engaged potential. I'll use my creative capacities. I will get my potential out of its box and put it to practice. The third ingredient, which really is important to understand, is what I call your measure of faith. We all have a creative capacity. We all have latent potential. But that capacity and that potential is different for all of us depending upon our measure of faith. Listen to this. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And I'm here to tell you, most of you are nowhere near committing that sin. Most of you, some of you in this room, maybe all of us in this room, would affirm theoretically the love of God, but few of us really have experienced it. The love of God that loves us as we are, not as we ought to be. You will never live a day where you're as you ought to be. You arrive as is. Huh? There's no warranty on the sticker. It's as is. You look at every little baby. Oh, aren't they cute? No, they're just a little booger. All they do is cry and poop. They're selfish. Oh, aren't they sweet? Then they grow up to become me and you. What was God thinking? I mean, if God wanted perfect people, he would just make us full grown. But he doesn't. We're born fractured, broken, selfish, afraid, reaching out for something firm to hold on to. And the only thing there is out there is the love of God extending his hand to each one of us and saying, I made you and I created you just like you are for a reason. Enjoy it. Stop trying to be somebody else. Think soberly about who you are. You can't do everything, but thank God you can do something. You have a gift. You have an ability. And you're to think about that gift and that ability and those talents and that energy level in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given us. Some of you are high capacity people. My wife, I give you a great example. My wife, and I don't, you know, I love her, but I don't normally like people like her. And it's because, and here I tell you, you're going to agree with me. You're laughing at me now, but then you're going to feel bad about it and feel guilty and ask God to forgive you before you die and go to hell. That you don't like people who don't need but 2 or 3 hours of sleep a day. You do not like those people unless you're one of them. I'm not. I'm just not. Now, when I'm on the pedal to the metal all the way, let's go, burn rubber. But boys and girls, when the lights go out in Dave Town, they're out. Can I hear an amen? I mean, they're out, baby. You give me 8 hours of sleep, and when I get up, we can rumble. But you give me 3 hours of sleep, and I don't ever get up. I just perpetually stumble forward. Anyone? I just need rest. I just do. I have 3 daughters. They all are energetic, but they all have different energy levels. They have different personalities. They're bent toward different things. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, the scriptures say, raise a child in the way he should go, and he'll never depart from it. And that has nothing to do with your own personal value system. It literally means raise a child in the way he or she is bent. And their proclivity and how they're designed and how they're programmed. And each one of us has been given by God a different capacity of faith, a different measure of faith. And so we don't have to measure our lives by each other. Aren't you glad? So here's what we're going to do on this journey. We're going to throw off the safe, comfortable, lazy boy lifestyle. And we're going to start by today and say, God, today I get out of the comfort zone. I am available. I'm enlisting myself. Would you please give me a big, scary, audacious dream? Something big. And here's what I mean when I say a big, scary, audacious dream. One, big. It is bigger than me and my present resources. It's more than I can do. It's bigger than I can think. I don't know how to fund it or finance it. Most people plan their future this way. I take my income and I take my outcome or my what is coming in and what's going out and where I am and what I've done. And then I plan my future. And I'm going to have if I get a 5% raise next year, and then I could increase my expenditures 5%, and then I'd be 5% happier. And if that's the way you want to live, you will live and die with your potential still in you, your song still in you, your dreams still in you. But aren't you glad that people like Steve Jobs and Mike Wozniak decided one day to build a thing called a computer in their garage? Aren't you glad that Michael Dell decided that college wasn't for him and decided to create Dell Computer in his college dorm? Aren't you glad that somewhere in the past, someone who thought women should be educated started Belmont College and Lipscomb College and Vanderbilt College and TSU and all these colleges and all these universities and all? Aren't you glad somebody someday decided that song ought to be recorded And we created the third coast right here in the city that we love living in. Aren't you glad somebody, someday, some idiot somewhere, some troublemaker, some slobber knocker somewhere said, you know what? Wouldn't it be cool if we had an NFL team and it played right here in Nashville? And wouldn't it be cool if we just took it from Texas and just put it right here, over here in the middle of a great big junkyard? That's stupid. That never happened. Wouldn't it be cool? Can you imagine us having a hockey team? Wouldn't that be stupid? Hockey team in the South? Hello? This is not Canada. Is there anything in your heart that when you think about it, it scares you? Because it's bigger than anything you've ever done or anything you know anyone else has ever done. And you sure don't have the resources for it. But can I just say this to you? What does it cost you to dream? Does it cost you anything? And my response is, it will. And let me warn you before you start this process. If you start truly dreaming God's dream in your life, that lazy boy will never feel the same. You may still have payments to make on it. I don't know. But trust me, you lay in that sucker and lean back and you'll flinch. Whereas it's all you think about now. I want to get home. I want to get laid back. I want to make sure I love it. When the Titans thing starts at 12, I'm ready to go. It'll be good. I'm going to Best Buy. I'm getting that clicker thing, you know, hand clap. Give me my big orange drink. Give me my chili dog. It'll be great. Be passed out by halftime. Yeah. Get up tomorrow, do the same old thing. Amen. Same old time, put on the same old clothes, eat the same old breakfast, get in the same old car, drive the same old way to the same old work, come back home to the same old house, look at the same old woman, ask the same old question, get the same old answer, and go back to bed. A big, scary, audacious dream is also doomed for failure without divine favor. If you haven't discovered this yet, if you are a brother and sister in Christ and you've not discovered this yet, nothing. If you can lose everything, if you have God's favor, you can get it all back. Because you can have everything and lose God's favor, and it'd be like living in your own man-made, self-made prison. A big, scary, audacious dream is bigger than me and my resources. It is doomed for failure without divine intervention, and it also changes the status quo. You see, here's. I have a good buddy. He drives a red thing. I call it the red thing. I'm not sure who makes it. I don't know any manufacturer that would claim making it. Maybe he's altered it, but it's ugly. It sounds ugly. It looks ugly. It's nasty looking. So the other day I had occasion to go to his home, and guess what he had? He has a brand new white Jag. Okay? Are you with me? And I'm thinking, why doesn't he drive that Jag? Well, because he is afraid that people will think that he's uppity. Well, who gives a rip what other people think? If you can afford a Jag, buy the sucker. And if a hair lips the Pope will just have to become a Baptist or something else and get over it. Can I hear an amen? Some of you live in a house way too nice. You never have any of your friends over for fear of what they're going to say. If you're that afraid and that ashamed of living in something God's blessed you with, sell that sucker, move into an apartment, and give us the money. Woo! Matter of fact, don't even go to the apartment. Go to a tent. Here's my point. I'm sorry I got a little emotional there. Here's my point. I just don't think God cares what kind of car you drive. I don't think he cares what kind of house you live in. If he's blessed you with a nice car, enjoy. If he's blessed you with a nice house, enjoy. Just make sure that you are generous and that you don't earn everything and spend it all on you. That you invest and you love and you're generous. And probably if you have those kind of blessings, you already are that kind of person. And you don't need to hear me say that. But the point of the matter is, a dream is something much bigger than a house, is much bigger than a car, it's much bigger than a Walt Disney vacation. And all those things are okay within their place and in their context. But we're talking about something that alters the way things are. The status quo, Latin for the mess we're in. We need some dreamers who will stop commenting on what's gone wrong and start doing something about what can go right. We need some dreamers who will find a need and stop cussing about it and fill the need. I got an email last night from a friend of mine whose name you would all know. And the email is this big blanket email. And I'm not sure I know enough about the name of the movie to tell you what it is. It says, don't read this book and don't go to this movie. I think it has something to do with compass in it. I don't mind saying what it is. You know what? I want to write them back and say, who died and made you God? Now, this may not be a good book and it may not be a good movie, but don't tell me what to do. I got a brain. Hello? Some of you may doubt that, but I have a brain. I can make a decision. And stop whining about the bad movies and let's start making some good ones. And stop whining about all the horrible hip-hop music all the babies are listening to and let's start writing some great music. Let's start writing some great country music. Pop music, rock music, classical music, jazz, all of it. It doesn't take anything to cuss about what's gone wrong. It takes someone of courage and character to step into the breach and do what can be right. And the reason most of us never do it is because the minute you dream and dare to do something, you'll be criticized. But may I remind you, it takes no size to criticize. And they do not erect monuments to critics. So find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. Find a wrong and right it. Find a dream and support it. Because one day you're going to stand before God and give an accounting for your one and only life. And this is what I want to hear. These righteous ones will reply in that day of an accounting and day of judgment. Sir, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you anything to drink? Or stranger and help you? Or naked and clothe you? Where did we ever see you sick in prison and visited you? Wouldn't it be great? I saw a guy the other day. First service didn't like this, so you're probably not going to like it either, but it's still the truth. I saw a guy the other day. He looked just like Jesus. I told Paul, I said, there's Jesus. She was not impressed. I mean, he's just exactly what Jesus, in my mind, would look like. A white guy with pale skin, long hair, and blue eyes. We know Jesus was white and was from Mississippi. So I'm thinking, wouldn't it be great if Jesus would just show up and that drunk, wino, loser guy on the side of the road asking for money and says, I'm the real deal, help me. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus would just show up with that pregnant young teenage girl who's been sleeping around with the football team and say, hey, this one's okay. Love this one. Or maybe he doesn't show up and he just says, love them all. Huh? Maybe there are no losers in his way of thinking. Maybe there are no harlots and prostitutes and wayward girls in his way of thinking. Maybe they're all his children. Maybe he loves them all. Maybe he just said, you know what? I'm not going to put a sign that said this one is deserving of mercy and this one is deserving of help and this one is deserving of food. I'm telling you, feed them all, love them all, serve them all, because you never know which one of them might be me. Amen? Yeah, you can clap. Jesus says, here's the response. I'll tell you, when you did this to the least of my brothers, you were doing it to me. You know what? There's a lot wrong with the world, but there's a lot that could go right if you and I would get off our good intentions and burn that dead gum lazy boy and spend our lives doing something that will make a difference long after we're dead. Let's pray. Father, I ask you this morning to stir something up in our hearts, to not let us ever go back to that lazy boy and that clicker and ever feel good about it again. I know there's a time to rest, and I know there's a time to recuperate, and I know there's a time to retreat. I understand all of that. And Father, sometimes we just get too deep into our comfort and too deep into our fears. And Father, I just pray this morning that you will shake us awake, that we would not waste another day on our fears and on our dreads, that we will not waste another moment being a critic. There'll be a dreamer and a darer and a doer, someone who lives out this amazing creative potential that we all have. I pray that you will put into the heart of every man and every woman in this room a big, scary, audacious dream. A dream that's bigger than the resources, bigger than them. One that's doomed for failure unless your hand's upon it. But one will change the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. I love you guys. Go get them.